Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Kesubah's Daf Nun Ches. We'll see how far we get, depending on how long the shiur is. And we start on the second line from the top, Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, Rabbi Theodore Adams, Tuvi Aryeh Ben Raphael. All the shows we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. Now, we left off yesterday. I know it's right before the two das, but it was a long shiur yesterday, so I wanted to stop without making it too long. And we're just going to remind ourselves, as the Gemara begins, Michday, let's take a look and understand Bein Lamar, the two opinions that we had yesterday, whether it was Ula who said that the reason why we don't allow the woman who's married to a Kohen to start eating truma from the time she's in Arusa, we make her wait till she's in a Suah, was because of the concern that she may go give it to her siblings. So that's why she's living at home, she may take home some truma, so therefore, that's why Ula said. And Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda had said that, no, the reason is because of Simpon, that there may be a mum or a blemish that will stop him from marrying her, and then she will not have, in retrospect, been an Ashes Kohen, and therefore she wasn't allowed to go and eat the Truma. So those were the two reasons. The bottom line is, Milte, Bein Lamar, Lo Ochla, Mai Binayu. Both of them, bottom line, say that she's not allowed to go and eat Truma until she's in a Suah, when neither of those two concerns anymore exists, because she's now living with her husband, so no concern she's going to bring it home to her house living with her father and give it to her siblings. And there is no concern about Simpon, that there's a blemish that make it a Mechachtos. They're already married, a full Nisuin, and therefore there's no concern anymore for Mechachtos. Bottom line is, there's no Nafkamina between the two reasons. Where it says, no, there is a Nafkamina. Ikebinai, the difference would be, Kibel, in a situation where Rashi points out in the Ramasu Kibel Allah Baal es Hamumim Lisimpon. The husband accepted the blemishes. He says, if there are blemishes there, it's not a problem. I'm going to marry this woman. I love this woman. And therefore, in that situation, Lekalamechash, there is no concern anymore about Simpon. However, Lashem Otashke Leochil Leachosa, that maybe she'll go bring it home to her siblings if she's living in her father's house and her Chosin, the one she's Ureses to, gives her some truma to take home, so ikalamechash, that you do have to be concerned about. So, nafkamina number one would be in a case where the husband accepted any blemishes that she has, he loves her, so therefore there's no concern of simpon, or shibuol, Bar Yehuda's concern doesn't exist, but Ula's concern would still exist. And the second scenario is in the case of mosar v'holach. What is this? So Rashi explains, in Dibra Maskul mosar, he says, Ha-Masar, who is Mim Masar here? Ha-Av, the Shulchi Abal. The father gave over his daughter to the Shulchi Abal. So there's still no Nisuin, but the kid isn't living at home anymore. The kid has been handed over to the Shulchi Abal for the Nisuin. O Shahochu, Shulchi Av, Im Shulchi Abal. Or the father's Shluchim have gone along with the Shluchim of the Baal, and therefore, again, the child's not living at home anymore. So therefore, Lekal Mecha, Hashem, Tashki, Lechi, Oleachosa. The whole list, Nugaba. There is no concern that she's going to go and take the Truma that she gets and give it to her siblings, because she's not with her siblings anymore. However, but there still is a concern over here that there'll be a simple and there'll be a mekach toes, and in retrospect, she won't have been allowed to eat truma. So these are the two nafkaminas over here between Ula and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda. The Tosfos Yeshanim in Os Aleph brings down that this chayshin and hochel simpon b'maser, in the case of maser, is only according to the opinion that we had of Rav. Hainu the Rav, demel el, mesiraso l'chol chutz mitruma, that everything is handed over here except for in din of truma. Otherwise, everything is that she's in the reshus already of the husband, except for the din of truma. And that's what we had previously. Okay, now the Gemara goes weiter at the two dots. The Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nosin L'Hakol Truma V'chule. Rabbi Tarfon was the opinion that we give her sustenance that she's entitled to all from Truma. The Kohen, the husband, is even allowed to give her Truma to feed her when she's Tmeya and not allowed to eat Truma. Rabbi Kivit said, no, you have to give her some Chulin and some Truma. So when she's Tmeya and not able to eat Truma, she'll have stuff to eat. The Rabbi Tarfon says, no, we give her all Truma, and she has to go be Toreach. She has to trouble herself to go and find somebody to buy the Truma from her. Obviously, it's at a lower price, because there aren't that many people that can eat it. And then she'll take those funds and buy herself Chulin. So Gemara says, Omar Abai says that this machlokus between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is only machlokus bevas Kohen lekohen. It's only if a bas Kohen is married to a Kohen. Because in this situation, her father and her family are used to dealing with Truma, and her father will go and take the Truma that she gets when she's not allowed to eat it because she's Tmeya, and go and exchange it for Chulin. However, Avol bevas Yisroel lekohen, when you're dealing with a bas Yisroel married to a Kohen, who doesn't have this familiarity, so to say, with doing this, so then divrei kol mechtza chulin mechtza truma. Then everybody agrees that she has to go and be given, even Rabbi Tarfon would agree that she has to be given half of the produce that she's going to be getting, the sustenance she's going to be getting in chulin, and half of it can be truma. Rashi again points out what I just said. He says, Bas Kohen Bekiah hi b'shmiras Truma. The Bas Kohen is familiar with the laws of Truma. She's grown up with it all of her life, and therefore she'll be able to go and make sure that she has the ability to sell the Truma, or her father will sell the Truma and sell it for Chulin, and Lumoch will be made to Mas, and she'll sustain herself when she's not allowed to eat Truma. So that's why Rabbi Tarfon says, in this situation, you can give her Truma because she'll know how to handle it. But if she's a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, she doesn't know how to handle it, so then everybody agrees, even Rabbi Tarfon would be moda, that you have to give her half chulin. From Abaye, Abaye adds further, and he says, Machlokes Verusa. This Machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is only for an Arusa, because she has her father to go take care of things. And again, we're dealing with a Bas Kohen, and her father is used to taking care of things for her when she was Temeya and couldn't eat Truma, so the father would go and exchange the Truma or get her chulin. So to this situation, she's living in her father's house. As Rashi says, in Diba Masko Bi Arusa, we're dealing with the Bas Kohen, the whole Vivei Saviya, Torah Chaviya Limkar Truma Bichulin Limei Tuma, Lefishu Rogabakach. He's been doing this for years. So therefore, there's no problem him continuing to do this. But Avol Benesua, back to the Gemara, Benesua, and as Rashi says over here, Shinosin Labala Mizonos Bebesa, now, she's getting sustained in her husband's house. She's already in a sewer. She's not with her father anymore. And therefore, in this situation where the husband is not taking care of her direct needs, but he's giving it ayidei shlish, so there's a third party that's involved in taking care of the needs. The husband went on a business trip, so he assigned somebody else to give her truma. And if the other person gives her truma, she's not going to be able to go and exchange it for chulin easily because kol kvud bas melech penima. She's not used to doing this. In those days, the women didn't go outside and deal with financial and the marketing type of needs, so she wouldn't be able to go and sell the truma and go get funds to go and purchase the chulin. So in this situation, even Rabbi Tarfon's mode had been a suwa, diri yakol mechza chulin mechza truma. You have to give her chulin in this situation. Her father's no longer taking care of this, and if the husband's supplying her via shlish, by a third party, so then you have to give her chulin. Tani Nam Yochid, the Brisa says exactly what Abaye said. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nosin La Kol Truma. Rabbi Tarfon says that you can give her truma. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Matzah Chulin, Matzah Truma. That was the basic thing that we had in the Mishnah, but the Brisa adds to this and says that this only applies with Medvar Mamurim. The Rabbi Kiva says you can give her Matzah Chulin, and Rabbi Tarfon says you give her all truma. That's only Bevas Koin, Lekoin. Only in that situation, as we pointed out, Avol Bas Yisrael Lekoin, Devri Yakol, Matzah Chulin, Matzah Truma, because of the concerns that she won't be able to be familiar with exchanging the truma for the chulin. And furthermore, the Medvar Mamurim be Arusa. This is only when she's in Arusa, living in her father's house, and he'll take care of it. Avol Ben Nesua, if she's already fully married and living with her husband, so there we call Matzah Chulin, Matzah Truma. And then Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rabbi Akiva, you have to give a chulin. Okay, so the Braisa brings down the same two opinions that we had in the Mishnah, expands on it like Abaye had said. But the Braisa continues and gives us several additional opinions as well, a total of five opinions. The third one is Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesera. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesera Omer, Nos lo shtei yado shel truma, v'acha shel chulin. He agreed with Rabbi Akiva that you give her some chulin, but he just disagrees. It's not 50-50. He says you can give her a third of chulin and two-thirds of truma. That one-third will be fine for her to manage with when she's not able to go and eat truma. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no sein lo hakol truma, just like Rabbi Tarfon. He says you can give the entire amount truma, v'himocheres lo kaches b'don m'chulin, but she will go and purchase with the truma. She'll sell the truma, she'll get funds, and she'll purchase chulin. Lo kaches b'don m'chulin, with that money, she'll buy chulin. So the obvious question is, Rashi asks this question, what is the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon? So in Dira Masa, Rabbi Yehuda omer no sein lo hakol truma v'chule, so he says, Bain Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Tarfon, there is a difference. Ika, there is a difference as follows. Dilu Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion, Sovar, Nos la Truma, Kidei Mizonosea. He says you give her exactly the amount of Truma that she needs to eat. And even though, Yafa B, Shemtsricha Lechulin, if she has to go and take that Truma, which is enough to get her through the week for eating Truma, but she's not eating Truma that week, she's eating Chulin, nevertheless, Ubo Limkor Truma, and she has to go sell it and take the funds and purchase Chulin, ain't made truma magian likach ben chulin. She's not going to be able to go and make an even exchange. So the truma is worth $50, but she needs $70 to go and live off of. Shari yikar mehim in that truma. Chulin costs more than truma. He only gave $50 worth of truma, which is enough if she's living off truma. But if she has to go and sell the truma for $50 and then purchase $70 worth of chulin, she won't be able to do that. Shakol kovtzen aleh. Everybody isn't interested in buying truma. Everybody's interested in buying chulin. So therefore, Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that nevertheless, he only has to give her enough food that if she was eating truma, she would go and manage. Now, how is she expected to be managing? So the Tosfos Rosh says, her father will help her out. In that situation, she'll give the truma to her father, and while it's only worth $50, he'll give her $70 worth of chulin back in return. So that's the simple understanding of Rabbi Tarfon. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he has to give her more truma. If the truma that he gives her, which is enough to sustain her, is only going to get her $50, and she needs $70, so then he has to give her more truma. He has to give her enough truma that she could sell it for $70 worth of chulin, which is what she needs to survive. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is more makel in the sense that he says you have to give her more truma than Rabbi Tarfon had said. Okay, that's the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yehuda. The final opinion is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The fifth and final opinion, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Makom Shehuzku Truma, Nosen Lo Kiflayim B'chulin. He says, whenever you're dealing over here with giving her truma, she has to be given twice as much truma as would normally be for chulin. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as Rashi explains, wants it to be very, very easy for her. If you're saying, well, we have to give you enough truma that you can purchase chulin, so let's say you gave her a certain amount of truma, which if you're exact with it, you'll be able to purchase enough chulin, but just exactly enough, so she has to be very, very, very careful in selling it. So she has to find out the best price for it. So that is what Rabbi Yehuda had said. You give her just enough truma that she can go purchase the amount of chulin that she needs for that week. So it's not going to be a one-to-one exchange, but whatever the exchange is, it's an exact exchange. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, we're very magnanimous. If you're giving her truma, so you got to give her a ton of truma, so this way she can sell it real easily. There'll be many people jumping at the truma. Let's say it's only worth $50, she's selling it for $20. So a lot of people are going to buy it, and this way she'll have enough money. So you have to give her twice as much truma instead of, let's say, 1.5 as truma, which would be the same amount as the chulin that she needs. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is very magnanimous and says, if you're giving her truma, you got to give her a lot. No sin lo kiflayim b'chulin. My benayu, what's the difference over here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? As I just mentioned, ikar v'nayu tircha, who is expected to go and do all the work. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we make her do the work. Yes, the husband has to give her enough truma that she can buy an adequate amount of chulin, but she has to go and work at it to make sure that it works out. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, he gives her a lot, and this way she doesn't have to be toreach so much. Okay, now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, ayav eino machal b'truma. We said that if Rachmana Litzlan, her husband, died after she was in Arusa, but before Nisuin, so she falls to the Yavam, and the Yavam doesn't feed her Truma. So Gemara says, my time out, why not? Because Kinyan Kasvo Rachmana, Vahai Kinyan the Ochifu. Because the whole reason why, technically, Midaraisa, as soon as she's in Arusa, she's allowed to eat Truma, albeit we brought down Ula and Rishu Bar Yehuda, who said that we don't allow it, but nevertheless, the din is Midaraisa, she can, is because of Kinyan Kasvo. And here, she is the Kinyan of the Ochif. She's, when Reuven passes away, he was the Kinyan, and not Shimon. So when Shimon now is her Yavam, so she's not allowed to go and eat until she fully marries him. Once she fully marries him, however, of course she can. Now, Mishnah continues and says, also saw Shisha Chadosh with Ne'abal. We said that if she was 6 months with the first husband, Reuven, as an Arusa, and then Nebuchadnezzar died, and now she's 6 months with the Yavam, or even if it was, we said, it was 11 months and 28 days with the Chosson, and then the Chosson died, and she's with his brother as a Yavam for only one day, or vice versa, even if it was only one day with the brother who died, and 11 months and 28 days under the Yavam, but in all of these situations, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Gemara says, Hashto b'fnei ha'bal amris lo b'fnei ha'yavam b'boya. If when she's with her husband the whole time, she doesn't get to eat, so what difference does it make if you're telling me that she spent 11 months with the husband, and then you tell me, and if she spent 11 months with the Yavam, it's also no good. Of course not. If she's 11 months and 28 days with her husband, and she still can't eat the Truma, so then certainly, if she's only one day with the husband, and 11 months and 28 days with the Yavam, of course she can. If they're Yavam, why would you have to tell me that? So what it says, this is a style that the Mishnah sometimes has. Zoo, it had to tell us the first thing, that even though she spent 11 months and 28 days with her husband, and then Nebuchadnezzar passed away, and only one day with the Yavam, she's still not allowed to go and eat Truma. That it had to tell me, Zoo, and it didn't have to tell me the second din, which is she spent one day with her husband and 11 months and 28 days with the Yavam, she still can't eat Truma, so it didn't have to tell me that, but the Chiddush it wanted to tell us was the first din, and therefore Zoo, Bein Tzarech Lomar Zuk Tani. That's the style of the Gemara and the Mishnayos that we have in many places. Tosus has a different girsa. In the bottom Tosus, Hashna, Tosus says, that Hari Garcina, this is the way you have to read it. Velozu azuk tani. It's the other way around. The Chiddush is lo mi boy shish chadosh mivnei abal v'shish chadosh mivnei hayavam. You didn't have to tell me the case of the 6 months in front of the yavam and 6 months in front of the baal, the lo achla, that she doesn't need truma in that situation, because el afilu kula mivnei abal chutz miyomechad. It was 11 months and 28 days with the baal. She still doesn't need lo achla. And this is the gears of the Yerushalmi, and it really should be a lo zu avzuk tani. You didn't have to tell me this case because the real Chiddush is in this other case. Okay, that's slightly different gears. So bottom line is all the same. When she's under the domain of the Yavam, she's never allowed to go and eat truma until she has the full-fledged nisuin with the Yavam. In other words, when she has bia with the Yavam. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Zu Mishnah Mishnah v'chulei, that the first part of the Mishnah, which is called the Mishnah Rishonah, was that once she's in the domain of her husband, she's masra over to him after the 12-month period of time, and if the husband was the reason that they're ma'akiv and they didn't get married, so then she's allowed to eat truma. But along comes the second part of the Mishnah, what we call the Mishnah Achrona, and tells us, no, that din doesn't apply, but we wait till she's in the chuppah no matter what. So one says, why? My timer. How come the Mishnah Achrona changed around what the Mishnah Rishonah had said, that if the 12 months pass, then she's allowed to eat truma, which was technically the din midaraisa from the time of Arusa, but we had the reason of Ula that she might go and give it to her brothers, and the reason of Rishmur Rehuda, who said that there may be a Mekach Tos here because of Simpon. But the bottom line is, why did the Mishnah Achrona say, once she's Maser over to the husband, that we still don't allow her to go and eat truma? Why not? So Rishmur says, my timer, what's the reasoning for the Mishnah Achrona, the later Mishnah, negating the Mishnah Rishon here that said that once she's given over to the husband, she can't eat truma? So Amar Ula, Vitema Rav Shmuel Yehuda, either Ula or Rav Shmuel Yehuda said, Mishum Simpon. Here we're concerned because of Simpon, that it would be a Mekach Toz, and retroactively, she wasn't really the Ashes Kohen, and she's a Bas Yisrael, and she was eating truma. So, now the Gemara says, wait a second, this is Ula or Rav Shmuel Yehuda. So Bishlam, if it's Ula, if Ula is the one that said this, we now understand. They originally said that we're concerned that giving it to her siblings, but now that she's Maser over into the Shusha the Baal because it's 12 months, he's going to be Miyachid her a place because he has to give her 3 meals a day. So therefore, Bishlam Ula, Kamaisa, the first based in, the first Mishnah Rishonah was Shema Yimzagula, Kos Bivesavia, she's going to bring home Truma to her family and her siblings are going to eat the Truma, drink the Truma, Ubasraisa, and Mishnah Achrona, they changed around and said, yes, we're no longer concerned about Yimzigul Lakos Bevei Saviyah, but here we're concerned Mishum Simpon. We're concerned that since she's not yet married, so there may be a Mekach Tos that will come up before the Nisuin, or the relatives will come and say, there's this mum that she has, and therefore the marriage will retroactively be uprooted. And it will turn out that this Bas Yisrael thought she was married to a Kohen, was eating Truma, but really is not. So Ula makes good sense. The Mishnah Rishonah, the concern was Shema Yimzigula Kos Beis Aviyah. And the Mishnah Achrona was concerned about Simpon. So we have two different reasons over here. If it's Ula the one that says it, we understand why Ula said the first din was the Mishnah Rishonah. That's Shema Yimzog. And the second din is Mishum Simpon. That was the Mishnah Achrona. We turn to Nuchesem at base. El Rishul Bar Yehuda, who said both times it's because of Simpon, Kamaisa Mishum Simpon, Ubasraisa Mishum Simpon, might be Nayu. So then why did they change the din around? If the same reasoning applied, so then why did the Mishnah Rishonah say yes and the Mishnah Achrona say no? So the Gemara says, no, there's still a nafkamina between the two. Ika Benayu, even though they're both saying Simpon, they're both saying it's a Mekach Tos concern, but Ika Benayu, whether Bedikas Chutz is going to be adequate or not. So the Mishnah Rishonah felt, Bedikas Chutz, Mar Sova, the Mishnah Rishonah said, Bedikas Chutz, Shmo Bedika. The relatives will go check her out. And they're not going to find anything wrong with her. And they're going to say to the husband, she doesn't have any mumim. And therefore, Mipnei Simpon doesn't apply once she goes in to his domain. Because they'll check her out. During the Erusin, they may not check her out. But once she goes into his domain, after the 12 months have passed, the relatives will check her out. And therefore, there is no concern of Simpon, according to the Mishnah Mishonah. Whereas the Mishnah Achrona felt, no, that the Bedikas Chutz, Shmo Bedika of the Mishnah Rishonah is not true according to the Mishnah Achrona. Umarasavah, the Mishnah Achrona, they held Bedika Schutz lo Shmo Bedika. That's not a good enough Bedika. As Rashi points out, the Kodem Shiyotzi Umaoso Bibzanosea, he's going to say that Eino Bedika Achemis Yachidimo Hu Atzma Ubotka. Until he actually is alone with her and he himself checks her out, so until that point in time, we do have to still be concerned about Simpon. And therefore, the Mishnah Achrona changed around the din for the Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona said that the relatives of Bedika would be enough. And the Mishnah Achrona said, no, the relatives of Bedika is not enough. And until he does the Bedika himself, i.e. at the Nisuin, so then, until then, she can't eat Truma. And that is the Halach L'maisa that the Mishnah changed around the din from the Mishnah Rishona to the Mishnah Achrona. Next Mishnah. Hamakdish Maise Yedei Ishto. Now here we're introducing something that we already brought down before, and we'll have it in an upcoming Mishnah as well. So we're just going to read the words of the Mishnah right now and then explain it as we go through the Gemara. If a man is makdish his wife's earnings, so she is earning a certain amount of money from sewing or other types of work that she does, so he's makdish them. The husband normally is entitled to his wife's earnings because, as we'll see in the Gemara, he goes and supports her. So, quid pro quo. He's supporting her, so he's entitled to a maisi yodel. So, our Mishnah tells us, a makdish maisi de ishto. If he's makdish the earnings that his wife makes, we ignore it. Hareza osa v'yochela. She's allowed to go and continue doing her work and taking her money and using it to feed herself and do whatever that she wants. He's not able to be makdish. The obvious question is, why not? And the Gemara will explain why not. Hamosa, that which she earns above and beyond the expectation, which we'll see is a certain amount of earnings. The Gemara will explain and discuss this, and it'll be in an upcoming Mishnah. Any excess earnings that she has, so that's a machlokas, whether they can or cannot be makdish by the husband. Rav Meir Omer, hektish. The husband does have the right to be makdish it, and it is going to have the status of being hektish. Rav Yochanan Sandler Omer, chulin. The husband doesn't have the right to be makdish it, and it remains chulin, it remains non-sanctified, and she can eat it, do with it whatever she wants. Now, we just read the words of the Mishnah, we don't fully understand it by any means. Now we'll start the Gemara to understand our Mishnah. A woman has the ability to tell her husband, Eini nizones, the Eini osa. I don't want your support because I make more money than you. And therefore, you are supporting me at $100 a week. I make $200 a week. So I'm not giving you my $200 a week to get $100 from you. So thank you very much. You keep your $100 of support for me, and I'll support myself with my $200 a week. Any nizonis, I don't wish to take from you any support, the aniosa. And therefore, I'm not working for you. I'm working for myself. And therefore, I keep my own money. She has the right to do this because the whole idea, according to Rav Huna or Rav, of setting up that the husband gets the wife's earning is because he's supporting her. But it's to the wife's benefit. Only when the wife doesn't make a lot of money and she wants her husband to support her, so then this applies. So the husband gives her $100, she makes $20 a week, so she gains on it by having him support her. But if she makes $200 a week and he's giving her $100 a week, so she says nothing to it. It's her choice because this is a takana for her benefit. And if it doesn't benefit her, so then the takana doesn't take effect. She has a right to refuse it. That's Rav Huna Amar Rav. Kisabra. This is based upon the idea that I just said. When the rabbis made this takana, the quid pro quo, husband gets the earnings, and the wife therefore has to go and be supported. That's because the mizone ikar, the support of the wife, drove this takana of the rabbanon. The rabbis want to be sure the wife had food. Well, ma'isi odel, and they said quid pro quo. You have to, if he's supporting you, give him your earnings. Is mishumeva. The husband shouldn't hate his wife. He says, listen, I'm supporting you. And then you're going to make your money, and I don't even get it. So I'm giving you $100 a week, and you're making $20, and you go and spend it on your own. That's not fair. That's going to lead to hatred. And therefore, the rabbi set that up. And therefore, the chiyamra ain't in his own esvaniosa. Therefore, if she says, well, that's great if it's $100 versus $20, but now it's $100 versus $200, and I'd rather keep my $200, and you can keep your $100. So she's perfectly within her rights to do that. Harishus biyoto. She has the right to do it. Again, Rav Huna Amar Rav says the whole takana was set up to improve her situation. If it doesn't improve her situation, she has the right to refuse this takana. More questions this. It says, really? Meitzvei, it says in the following braisa, tiknu mizonos tachas maisida. It says that the mizonos came only because he had the right to her maisida. The maisida came first. And in order that she should have something to be supported, because she has to give her husband all of her earnings, so then the rabbi said, okay, but you have to support her. So this seems to be against what Rav Huna Amar Rav said. Rav says, no, you're misreading this braisa. Ema, the braisa is really saying, tiknu maisi adel tachas and mizonos. No, the mizonos were the ikar. The mizonos came first. And it was only that the rabbi set up, well, since he's supporting you $100 a week, so give him the $20 that you're earning from the maisi adel. Exactly like Rav Huna Amar Rav said. Now the Gemara says, and I'll show you that that's right. from a careful reading of our Mishnah. Lema Mesaile, our Mishnah said, Makdish Maisi de Ishto, if a man is Makdish his wife's earnings, Harehi Osov Yocheles. We ignore it. He's not able to be Makdish her earnings, the Mishnah said. She, in fact, can still go and earn money, Vocheles, and keep the money. It's not Hekdish. Now, my la binizonis, aren't we talking about over here that he wanted to support her, and she said no. That's the way Rashi understands. Look at Rashi, Dira Masu, my love binizonis. She yeish lo nechosim. The husband has money, umevakish lazona, and he wants to go and support his wife, ba'afilu halchi, but nevertheless, tanan, ein ma'asi yodea birishuso lakdishan. If she says no, and Tosa says this clearly, Dira Masu, my love binizonis, he says that I want to go and support you. But she says, no, I don't want that support. So then, in that situation, she doesn't have to give him her Maisi Adeha, and therefore he can't be Makdish them. Oh, a careful reading of a Mishnah supports Rafuna Marav. Where it says, Lav Dafka, lo, not necessarily so. Our Mishnah doesn't necessarily support Rafuna Marav, doesn't go against it, but our Mishnah could be learned, Bisha'ein on his onus. Our Mishnah could be talking about, as Rashi says, She'ein lo ba me'er lezona. He doesn't have the money to support her. So then, in that situation, he says, okay, then I'll support myself. If you can't support me, then I'll support myself, but then you're not getting my earnings. So in fact, our Mishnah is talking about Bisha'ein on his onus. So we don't have a proof against Rafuna Marav, but we don't have a proof to Rafuna Marav. Or it says, no, we still could say that our Mishnah supports Rafuna Marav. Why? Because if you're telling me, our Mishnah is talking about where the husband doesn't have any money and is unable to support her, so then what's the Chiddush? What are you telling me this for? After all, how can you say that the husband's entitled to her handiwork, or he's entitled to her earnings, if he's not supporting her? Ah, you're going to tell me that a husband has the right to say, I get your money and you have to support yourself? By begging? No, that's not true. Even though, and we had this previously in the Masechta, even though the husband has the right to tell, as we'll see, an Eved Kenani, that I'm keeping all your handiwork, and you have to go out on your own time and beg for food, because I don't have to support you. Even, according to Man D'Yomar, it says that that's allowed, that's only Hani Mila Eved Kenani, that's only by an Eved Kenani. However, that's not the truth, by Eved Ivri, and certainly not by a wife. Because by an Eved Kenani, the lo ksiv be imach, it doesn't say imach like it does by an Eved Ivri. By an Eved Ivri, it says v'hoyo ki yomar elecho lo etze me imach ki ahevecho v'es beisecho. The guy doesn't want to leave after the 6 years; he wants to stay on to be until the yovel ki tov lo imach, because he likes it there. So it says imach; he's with you. Avol Eved Ivri ksiv be imach lo. You don't have the right to go and say, "I'm taking all the work that you do. I'm taking all your earnings, and you got to go beg to support yourself." So you can't do that for an Eved Ivri. Everybody agrees to that. There's only one opinion that says you can do it for an Eved Kenani. The other opinion says you can't even do it for an Eved Kenani. But you certainly can't do it for an Eved Ivri. And if you can't do it for an Eved Ivri, the kosher can't eat, so you certainly can't do it for your wife. So therefore, our Mishnah doesn't make any sense. If you're telling me it's talking about Bishain on his ownness, so why would you have to tell me that the husband's not entitled to any of her earnings and the husband can't be Makdish her earnings? It's like saying, I can't be Makdish my next door neighbor's earnings. Of course I can't. It's not my earnings. So if it's not the husband's domain, he's not supporting his wife. He can't support his wife. So her earnings are hers. He's not entitled to them. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah to say that he doesn't have the right to be Makdish her earnings? Again, a pella. So Gemara says, no, you're right. From the Reisha, there is no Chiddush whatsoever, and it wouldn't make any sense. But Seifoi, it's Drichale. The second part of the Mishnah was essential. That was talking about the Mosar. If she has excessive earnings above and beyond what she's expected to make, so then, Rabbi Meir Omer Hekdish, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer Chul. That was the end part of the Mishnah, where it said, the Ramei says, in that situation, the husband can be Makdish the Mosar earnings. We'll see in a moment why. And Rabbi Yochanan Asanda says, no, even in that situation, the husband can't be Makdish. The most are earnings, and they remain chulin, and they remain hers to do with what she wants. And so Rashi points out, the Afal Gav, the Einon Nizonis, even though he's not supporting her, Ikal Man D'Yomar, there is the opinion of Rabbi Meir that says, Kodosh, that the husband has the right to be Makdish it. Li'achar Miso, Kishi Yirshena, Ul Chidlikamar. It means that he can't be Makdish while it's in her hands, but when he inherits it, so then retroactively his Hekdish works. Now, we'll see this inside as we continue in the Gemara. This statement that we just brought down in Rav Huna Amar Rav that says that we're dealing here with the wife having the ability to say, I do not want your support because I earn more than you, and therefore I'd rather support myself, and I'm ignoring, I don't want your support. So that was what Ravuna Marav said, but this disagrees with what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said, no, don't Reish Lakish, lo tema, time of the Rav Meir. Don't say that the reason over here for Rav Meir that says that the Moser is allowed to be Makdish is Bishum, the Kasavar, other Makdish, Dover Shlo Bel Yolam, that it's based upon the fact that a person has the right to be Makdish, something that hasn't come into the world yet. Because this Moser hasn't come into the world yet, and Rav Meir says that you're allowed to be Makdish it. No, that's not the reasoning. Ella time the Rav Meir. The reasoning of Rav Meir is Mitok Shiocho Lechofo Lemais Yodea. Because Rav Meir says, I can force her to give me her earnings. It's up to the man to decide, not like Rav Huna Marav said, that it's up to the woman to decide. Because Nasir Ka'omala, it's as if the man said to her, Yikotchu Yodayech Lioseyem. It's nothing to do with the Dovah Shlobo Liola. It's not something that hasn't come into the world yet. He's saying your hands are in the world, and I'm being makdish your hands. He has the right to do that. The bottom line is, Reish Lakish holds that it's up to the man to decide yes or no. Does he want to take the wife's handiwork? He has the right to take it, even if she doesn't want to give it to him. And that goes against what Rav Huna Marav said. So this is Upliga the Reish Lakish. Mor says, but that's not what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah didn't say, Nasa kam omer lo yikot yodayich leosam. That's not what it said. For halo omer lo hochi. Our Mishnah said that he's makadish the earnings. It didn't say he's makadish the yadayim that will make those earnings. So Mor says, no. Kivan the shamina leila rav meir, the omer, since we in fact know that Ramea's opinion is, ain't adam motzi devara of levatola. Ramea says in a number of other places that a man would never go and say something levatola. He wouldn't go and say stam something that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, when this person said it, it's Rashi says, Dira Maskal, Shamina Lidra Meir, in the Gemara in Erechin, it tells us, Eino the Motzi Dvar Luvatola, Titnat, Hamarech Pochus Biben Chodesh. If you go and say, I'm giving the Erech of this child that's under 1 month old. Now, a child under 1 month old has no Erech. So Rabbi Omer, no sin dom of the Adam Yodesh in Erech Lepachos Ben Chodesh. Everybody knows that there is no Erech to somebody under 30 days. And therefore, when he said it, he must have meant something that he does have to go give. The Gomer Vyomer, Lashem Domim, Hochanami, Adam Yodesh, in order Makdish Dover Shlobo Leolam, the Gomer Vyomer, Lashem Yodayim Atzman. So here, we go like the opinion of Rebbe that says nobody would say something that doesn't have any purpose to it. So therefore, when this person said, I'm makdish something that hasn't come into the world yet, so obviously he doesn't mean that. We're assuming right now that Rebbe says you can't be makdish dovr shlo bo liolam, but he must be saying therefore something, and that's yikach yodayich lo sam, which is a dovr shlo liolam that is bo liolam because her hands are in the world. And therefore, nasik omer lo yikach yodayich lo sam. So therefore, that's the understanding of Rav Meir. More questions this. It says, really? V'sav Rav Meir, ain't all the makdish dover shlobo liolam? Based upon what you just said, Rav Meir seems to be maskim that you can't be makdish dover shlobo liolam. But we see elsewhere that Rav Meir holds you can be makdish dover shlobo liolam. But Tanya, we learned elsewhere, Homer Elisha, if a man says to a woman, who right now he's not able to marry, so he says to her, Hareat mikudeshesli aleacha sheiz gaya. Right now he says, I'm a goy. And he says, I'm planning on converting. So I'm giving you Kedusha now that will take effect after I convert. Now, that's a Dovish Lobo Liolam. Or he says, oh, Liachash Tiskairi. Or he's Jewish, and he goes to this Catholic lady and says, I know you're in the process of converting. I'm giving you Kedusha now that will take effect once you become a Yiddish Medel. Or Liachash Tachre. Or she's right now Shifchot Kenanis. And he says, when you become freed, so this Kedusha should take effect. Or he's an Eved Kenani. And he says, when I become free, Liachash Tachre, when I become free, that's when the Kedusha should take effect. Or the woman's married. And he says, here's Kedusha, Liachash Yom Hizbalach. Your husband's in the ICU. When he dies, this Kedusha will take effect. Oh, Shetomus Achosech. Or Rachman al-San, he's married to her sister. And he says, when your sister dies, then I want to marry you. So now that I marry your wife's sister, well, the wife is alive. So he says to her, this guy says, when his wife dies, then he wants to marry the sister. So all of these things is a Dovah Shlobo Liola. And yet, or he says, oh, Liacha Shiachlus Ol Yivamech. A woman is waiting Yibum, and he says, when your husband does Chalitza to you, when this Yavim does Chalitza to you, so then I will marry you. And all of these things is a Dovah Shlobo Liola. And the Tana Kama says, this doesn't work. Rabbi Meir Omer Mikudeshes. Every one of these situations, it works. So clearly, Rabbi Meir holds that the Dovah Shlobo Liolam is good. So why does Reish Lakish say from our Gemara that you see that Rav Meir's reasoning isn't Dovr Shalom Baliolim, because he doesn't allow that. The reasoning is because Shiachal Lechofel Amasiyadah. Why didn't he say it's a Dovr Shalom Baliolim? So Gemara says, what he's saying over here is, Neyahi, in, from this Brisa that we just brought down, She Mekudeshes Leachashes Gaya, Oleachashes Gairi, etc., that's a proof that Rav Meir holds. Clearly, you can be Makdish a Dovr Shalom Baliolim. However, Meha, from our din, Leka lemishma mina. You can't prove it from there, because you can say that Rav Meir actually had a different explanation, that you could force a man to, the man can force his wife to give him the Maisi Adel. So therefore, in this situation, you don't have a raya. The Rav Meir's reasoning is, Dover Shalom Baliola. Okay, a little bit of a complicated sugya. Let's go weiter. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hamoser, Rav Meir Omer Hektish, and Rav Yochanan HaSandler had said, no, v'chulin, it stays chulin. So, according to Rav Meir, who says that the Moser becomes hektish, emas kadosh. When does it become hektish? So where is the machlokis? Rav Shmuel, Yamar Tavayu. Both Rav and Shmuel say that the Moser becomes hektish only li'acha misa kadosh. Only after the man's wife passes away. Now he inherits her. And now, retroactively, the kiddushin that he did beforehand, that he was hektish, the wife's Moser, while the wife had it, it wasn't hektish, but only now, when the husband inherits it, so that original hektish that he made now goes and makes it hektish. That's the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. But Rav Ado Bar Ava disagrees. Rav Ado Bar Ava Omar Mosar Mechayim Kadosh. He says, no, it actually becomes hektish while the wife is still alive. As Rashi says, Kishe Te'asenu, when she makes this Mosar, at that moment, it becomes hektish. The husband has the right to be machdish. So he says, what's going on over here? Heavy bar a papa asked over here, and he said, B'mai, what are we talking about? Ilema, if you're telling me, B'malalo mezonos, umalalo mo kesef litzorocheha, if you're telling me that the husband did both of the things that a husband is supposed to do for his wife. Number one, he's supplying her with mezonos. And number two, he's giving her an extra mo kesef to take care of any additional tzrochos that she has, any additional needs that she has, which we'll learn later on in the Mishnah, what those, that silver maw, that maw kesef that he gives her, what's that for? So if the husband is doing both of those things, so then why would you need to tell me that he's able to be makdish her mosa? Of course he could. It's his. My time of the mandiyama, liachamis is kadosh. So then why would Rabbi Shmuel say it's only kadosh after the wife dies and the husband inherits it? No. The husband is entitled to it even while she's alive. So that wouldn't make any sense. Obviously, the Ella, it must be talking about Kishain Malalo Mizonos, Velo Malalo Mo Kesel, Litzrocha. It must be a situation where the husband's not providing her with Mizonos, and he's not providing her with an extra Mo Kesef, and therefore, that's why it's not Kadosh. So then, what's the Chiddush? My time, or the Mandiyama, Mechaim Kadosh. So then, Rav Adav Arava makes no sense to say that it's Kadosh right now. So again, Mimon of Shach. If the husband's giving her both the Mizonos and the Mo Kesef, so then, what in the world are Rabbi Shmuel saying that it's only the Achamisa? And if the husband is not giving either of those things, what in the world is Rabbi Adam or Rabbi saying that it's Kaddish right now? So again, it makes no sense. Where it says it makes a lot of sense. Leolam b'malalo mizonos ve'eno malalo mo'kesef l'srochel. He does one of the two, right? Until now we said he did both or he did neither. Now we're going to say, no, he's paying for her mizonos, but he didn't give the extra mo'kesef. So in this situation, Rabbi Shmuel Sabre, this situation, Rabbi Shmuel hold, Tiknu, and we turn to Nun Tes Omud Aleph, Chazal Wumisake, Mizonos Tachas Maaseh, as we've been explaining till now, Rav Huna Mar Rav said that the reason why the husband's entitled to a Maaseh Adel is because he provides the Mizonos. So here he's providing Mizonos, he gets a Maaseh Adel. But the more kesef that he gives her, that's quid pro quo for the moser, for any excess earnings that she makes above the minimum, which we'll see in a moment what that is. So the more kesef he didn't give her, that's for the moser. And therefore, v'kiva de lo koyoiv lo more kesef, moser di do heve. In this situation, since the husband did not give her the more kesef, so she does get the moser. And that's what Rabbi Shmuel say. That's why the moser is hers. He doesn't have the right to be makdish it. It's only when he inherits it from her, when she never passes away. Only at that point does the Kiddushin that he did, the hektish that he made it, kick in. Oh, Rav Adav Arava disagrees. Rav Adav Arava saw bar no, the tiknu mizonos tachas mosar. The reason why the husband supports the wife is because he gets the mosar. He has to support the wife to get because he gets the mosar. And it's the more kesef that he provides her, that's tachas maisa der. That's for the regular maisa der that he has, that she has. And therefore, the kiva, the koyav, lo mizoni, since he's in this situation providing a mizonos, so therefore, the mizonos is against the mosar. So mosar did they have it. So therefore, he's entitled to the mosar. Now, what's exactly the argument here? We said the words, but why does Rav Shmuel say that the mizonos is tachas maisa der? And why does Rav Adam and Rav say that the mizonos are tachas the mosar? It's Michael Mifflin, what are they arguing about? So Rav Shmuel, Ma'ar Sovar, they hold midi de shriach, midi de shriach. That it makes sense over here to say something that is common, such as the mizonos, should be for something that is common, which is the maisa der. Husband supports the wife, and any money that the wife makes, she gives to her husband. Oh, shriach, shriach. And the more kesef, that's not so common that the husband gives it, and most of that she makes extra is not so common. Therefore, those two are against each other. That's what Rav Shmuel say. But Rav Adabar Avo says, no, Umar Savar, he says, midi dekayitz, that which is a set amount, such as the more kesef, that is connected the amount that she earns. The more kesef is for the set amount that she earns. The maisi odeh is a certain amount of weaving that she does, which we'll see in tomorrow's shiur. In any event, that's what Rav Adam Rava says, the set amount is against the set amount. So the more kesef is against the set amount of her maisi odeh. And therefore, the mizonos is connected to the moser. And since he's supplying her with mizonos in this case, he's entitled to the moser. And therefore, when he's makdish it, it's makdish right now while she's alive. Gemara says, wait a second. Meisvei, tiknu mizonos tachas maisi yodea. It says, beferish, that they were masaking the mizonos against her maisi yodea. So what would Rav Adam Bar Avi do against this brisa? So Ema, he says, we have to reinterpret the brisa. He says, tachas moser maisi yodea. The mizonos are against the moser maisi yodea, as Rav Adam Bar Avi holds. Where it tries again, it says Toshma. But we have the following Mishnah, which we'll learn a little bit later in the Masechta and Daf Samach Dalet. It says, in Eino Nosi Lo Mo Kesef Litzarchel Maisi Odeo Shalah. This goes exactly like Rav Adam Bar Avi, seemingly that the Mo Kesef is against the Maisi Odeo. Kashan Rabu Shmuel. So it says, Rabu Shmuel would have to understand the Mishnah as follows. Ema, they say the Mishnah means that Mosar Maisi Odeo Shalah. If he doesn't give the Mo Kesef, then she's entitled to the Mosar, not the Maisi Odeo, but the Mosar Maisi Odeo. I, where it says, Voalo Ketoni, but over there it says, Mahi Oso Lo Mishkan Chome Shloim Shasi Vihuda. That we're dealing over there with the amount that she makes with the Maisi Odeo is a certain amount of what are called the warp threads. When they're weaving, there's the woof and the warp, and the chassis are thicker, so there's a little bit more. Mishka chomish shloim of chassis threads be Yehuda. That's what is considered her maisi odeh, what she should be making. That's the minimum expectation that she should be making. So it says, beferish, that the more kesef is against the maisi odeh, not the mosa maisi odeh. One says, no, hachikomar, that's not the right understanding. Rav Shmuel, they would understand the Mishnah saying, maisi odeh kamahave. How much of the maisi odeh? Why? That's the mishkal chomish shloim shesi b'Yehuda. You need to know that, not because that's what the more kesef is against, but then beyond that is the mosar. The leida mosar dido kama. The standard amount that she's supposed to work, the maisi odeh, is Mishkal Chomei Shloim Shesi Yehuda, which is Shehein Eser Shloim Begolu, where they had a different financial setting. As Rashi says, Sela Shel Yehuda Kiflayim B'Mishkal Sela Shel Golu. So they had different financial systems, and therefore the five Shloim of Shesi wool in Yehuda was equal to 10 Shloim in the Galil. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, according to Rav Shmuel. In order to say that the more kesef is against the mosar, you have to know what the maisi odeh are, so you'll know what the mosar is. But it doesn't mean that the more kesef is against the maisi odeh. The more kesef is against the mosar, as Rav and Shmuel say. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.